There are moments of time which get labeled as historic and are turned to for a study of what was done right. And there are times which, when studied, remind us about what was done really wrong and how that prolonged a horrible series of events. My next guest is here to share the story featured in a documentary which looks back at an example of the latter. The time this film takes us back to becomes even more relevant due to the issue which is ignored by many today, just as it was back in 1991. The film is Yet the Jew, The Crown Heights Riot Revisited. He's the president and CEO of Palladium Pictures, former CEO of the U.S. Agency for Global Media for the Trump administration, Michael Pack. How are you today, Michael?
Good to be with you, Chris.
And we have links at our homepage for you too, as well as I embedded the film itself on our homepage. But if you want to see the various documentaries that the Wall Street Journal is behind in producing, wsj.com/opinion, and you can find out more about what is really great work and raises awareness of many important issues, such as this documentary, Yet the Jew, does. Why is it important to retell this story from 1991, Michael?
I think you set it up yourself pretty well, Chris. I think that the Crown Heights riot in 1991 was the worst anti-Semitic riot in American history. And as you pointed out, there's a new wave of anti-Semitism today, when a lot of the same patterns that were established in 1991 are repeating themselves. And that's why we chose to make this short documentary. It's only 20 minutes. I should say it's not behind the Wall Street Journal's paywall. It's free to anyone who wants to watch it. And it's the first of a series of documentaries that my company, Palladium Pictures, is doing with the Wall Street Journal to look at incidents from the past that have been misreported, forgotten, or sent down the memory hole for one way or another that are important to understand today. This is the first. And I think it's significant for that reason, a new wave of anti-Semitism. And Crown Heights, the Crown Heights riots set the pattern.
Also helps us understand, too, what the elements are and how that the violence of anti-Semitism spreads. You have rumors, which equals gasoline. Mm. You have the instigators fanning the flames. And interesting and surprisingly, to me at least, Al Sharpton actually comes and sits for an interview to a degree, I guess, in an attempt to for redemption, maybe. I'm thinking of that. So how did Al do in trying to explain his actions back from 1991?
Well, together with the Wall Street Journal, believe in giving all sides a fair hearing, and I'm grateful to Al Sharpton for agreeing to be interviewed, and we try to give him enough time to make his case. He acknowledges that outside people came and whipped up the crowd to an anti-Semitic fervor, but he attributes it to others. And I invite your listeners to watch it and decide for themselves. But I wanted to say, Chris, that you're quite right that the pattern repeats itself. And to me, the pattern is that there's anti-Semitic violence. In this case, a traffic accident where a Hasidic man accidentally ran over a black child caused a massive riot in the neighborhood of Crown Heights, Brooklyn, that was predominantly black with a bunch of Hasidic Jews in it. And then the gangs of young black men went around the neighborhood. They finally ran into a Hasidic man and said later that night and said, there's a Jew, get the Jew, hence their title. And they beat him up, stabbed him, and he died. So it led to the death of a Hasidic man, but it went on for 3 days with many other Jews terrorized, police cars burned, stores looted. And the film asks the question, and this is the important question, why did the mayor and the police chief let it go on for 3 days? And that's the thing we see today. There's anti-Semitic violence. The media misreports it. We have a New York Times reporter who covered it, who made the point that he would send the story into the New York Times, and they would report it as blacks and Jews fight each other in Crown Heights. But it wasn't that. Blacks were setting upon Jews. It was only one-sided. There's the moral equivalency in the way the media covers it, and that allows the largely Democratic leadership, in this case Mayor David Dinkins, to do nothing. And I think the reason is fear of inflaming or alienating their progressive wing. and they let it go on. And in fact, the mayor and the police chief didn't stop it until they themselves were personally attacked in Crown Heights. And you see that pattern last year on college campuses. You see it this year, and it's important to understand it and try to make it stop.
And you see the same reaction by the media. I think back to those days, and at the time, former New York City Mayor Ed Koch had a daily radio show on WABC. And even back then, I was a news addict. I would be watching, and obviously, with this being so close, I was watching a lot of news coverage of what was going on with Crown Heights. Koch was the only one calling it a pogrom and tagging it for exactly what it was, while all the other media was, as the documentary says, and you just relayed, it was looking at it as a trying to put it on a scale, I guess, and trying to get a balance out of it.
Well, that's right. The other person who ended up calling it a pogrom was later in the process. So Mayor Dinkins ran for re-election a few years later, and he ran against Rudy Giuliani, who ran on a law and order platform, and he called the Crown Heights riot a pogrom. And he said he would not let that happen again. And as Ellie Kaufman, who's reporting for the Wall Street Journal, this film is largely based on, points out, in that his re-election campaign, David Dinkins lost only 3% of the Jewish vote, even though he'd allowed an anti-Semitic riot. But he lost a lot of voters in Staten Island and other outer boroughs, sort of essentially working-class white voters who didn't want to see violence in their city, whether it was against Jews or anybody else. And so that is one of the reasons why Mayor Rudy Giuliani, you know, won that election and became mayor of New York.
Michael Pack, who is the president and CEO of Palladium Pictures, talking about the documentary Get the Jew, the Crown Heights Riot Revisited, which you could see. We have it embedded on our homepage. You can also bookmark this page, wsj.com/opinion, because there will be future documentaries coming down the pipeline of quality like this, I have no doubt, because what Get the Jew presents, Michael, is exactly what history is supposed to do. It's supposed to alert us about the here and now off of what happened yesterday, because just because something is in the past doesn't mean it's gone away. And certainly we can say that with anti-Semitism, can't we?
Absolutely. And so we are doing a series of those films for the Wall Street Journal. We are also, I should tell your listeners, we have an incubator program to train young right-of-center conservative libertarian filmmakers. We provide them a grant. We provide them mentorship and distribution. So if anyone in your listenership knows a sort of rising filmmaker, they can go to our website, palladiumpictures.com, to the incubator page and apply, or see any of our other films. For instance, our last film about Clarence Thomas, Created Equal, Clarence Thomas in his own words. So there are series there that also meet the standards you just mentioned, and or they can look at the incubator page. But first they should watch Get the Jew, the Crown Heights Riots Revisited.
And we'll add the website to the incubator page on our homepage as well.
Right.
Because, Michael, right, film was always meant to have as an option something to inform. It's not there just to merely entertain. I mean, people hear the term documentary. It doesn't have to mean something dry or stale. Mm. It should be, it could also, and maybe even should be, something that ignites something in you when you see it.
Absolutely. You know, real stories have drama, you know, they're, in a way, you know, in some ways that Hollywood movies have a trouble matching. And it's not only that the Crown Heights story is a dramatic story, but it's an important, but it's both a dramatic story and you learn something from it. And one of the things, you know, I am myself politically conservative, and I have lots of friends who are left of center documentary producers, and I salute their many high quality films, but there are very few on our side. And what exists on our side tends to be sort of propaganda. And we need to tell stories too that simply relate what happens and let viewers decide. And so that is why we have our training program, and that is also why we're making these films with the Wall Street Journal opinion section.
Again, the documentary is Get the Jew, the Crown Heights Riot Revisited, which you can see at wsj.com/opinion. There's also a YouTube channel at WSJ Opinion. We have it embedded on our homepage as well, because it's something I want you to see and learn from, as any good documentary should do. It should educate, not just inform, and it will help you transfer and understand how a problem of yesterday can become even stronger today when it's very well known to exist. And that could be confusing to many people. But to understand the problem is probably the best step toward finding some sort of solution to it. Also put up a link to Palladium Pictures and their incubator program, because next generation of filmmakers, I think, Michael, are going to have a lot of great stories to tell, and to do it right is the key to that. Michael, thank you so much for presenting this work, making it possible, and everything you have coming down the highway. And thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you very much, Chris. Thank you.